Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. I have a really special segment for this radio show. We call it Building Fortunes because, as you've heard before in the previous radio show we've done, we really are very passionate about helping the entrepreneur build something. And the gentleman I'm going to be interviewing today, his name is Benjamin or Ben Suarez. He runs a company called SCI, and he is a wonderful example of someone who started from the beginning many years ago, who as an entrepreneur had that spirit and just figured it out how to build a very large, successful business that's multifaceted. You're going to learn a little bit more about the business as we do future radio shows, but I really, really, really wanted you to hear from the person because that's really where it all started. Because he started, like many of you, maybe even just today, a thought or an idea of maybe there was something better. I got to get out of the rat race that I'm in. I wanted to be the entrepreneur, have more control of my own life. And Ben has exceeded through his accomplishments to do amazing things in his community and obviously in his town for organizations like the nonprofit organizations he's helped, schools, individuals, and I'll playfully say generations of people. He's been doing this since 1968, 1970. That's where the thought of the idea is. Here we are in 2018. He's probably raised some families. So he's been a major employer in his local town in Akron, Ohio, and then some. And as I've been reading through some of his history, preparing myself for our radio show, I am in awe from the things that people have said about Ben Suarez to the stuff that I've read, and it is my distinct privilege and pleasure to be able to introduce Ben Suarez to our Building Fortunes radio listening audience. So, Ben, thanks for being here. I know we're catching you at home, and thanks for spending time out of your very busy day being here. So thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Now, I started off by kind of the illusion, if you will, of Building Fortunes Radio. We're building it. We build it one brick at a time sometimes, and it's not always easy. Can you tell us, where was the spark, and I know you got to go way back, but where was the spark or the idea behind doing something on your own as opposed to maybe working for somebody else? Can you give us a little bit about that background?
Yes. I was a computer scientist for Babcock and Wilcox. They were a company that produced nuclear reactors and other power generation equipment. And the nuclear reactors, they were having trouble producing them on time, et cetera. So I got sent because I was doing a lot of creative work and so on and good work at one of the divisions. They sent me to the research center, which was in Alliance, Ohio, because they had this program for the production of nuclear reactors that ran for a whole week, 24 hours a day, in order to fulfill all the activities and lay out when the reactors would be done, et cetera. Long story short, I came there in a matter of a few months. I developed a program that would made the whole thing run in an hour rather than 7 days a week. And I thought I was going to get a ticker tape parade and so on. And I was told that I showed up the PhDs and so on at the research center, and they were going to have to shelve the program until they could figure out how to introduce it, that they had some input into it and so on. So that pretty well sealed it for me as far as the corporate world. And I had numerous other experiences in the corporate world where I saw that I wasn't going to reach my goals there of becoming independently wealthy. So I decided at that time that I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, but I was going to create a business for myself. And even though my education was started out in engineering and then switched to psychology, the psychology helped me with marketing, but I had no knowledge of business. And I started out by producing computer-generated products since I was a computer scientist, such as financial tables and so on, and started to try to sell them in the books and bookstores and so on. Anyhow, the bottom line, nothing worked. And we mortgaged our house, borrowed from our relatives, and were totally flat broke until 1973 when we finally hit on a product. And I studied through the period, I studied all of the old masters in direct marketing and even did such things as go out and sell encyclopedias with salesmen to learn how to sell and so on.
Which brand? Which brand of encyclopedias?
Encyclopedia Americana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Excellent. So just to give our listening audience a little bit of a time frame. Now, I hate to say it like this because I feel like I'm getting so old, but this was back in the 1960s that you were doing this, 1968,
right.
I think, when you were doing the computer stuff. Computers were a little bit different than they are now.
Radically different. We were programming in 56K on the CPU. Now they're doing gigabytes, and so on. So you had to really be a real programmer. I programmed an assembler, and a lot of times had to figure out machine language to be able to squeeze in the programs. So nowadays, most programs are just coders on high-level languages, like one command generates a thousand assembler commands. So I don't know if you would really call it programming.
Yeah, exactly. Like a WordPress install. Push
right.
One button and then it's
yeah.
done. So that's, oh my
those
God.
Are real programmers in those days.
Yes, exactly. So I hate to say it, but the more I learn about the things that you do and the more I read about some of the stuff that you do, the more I see parallels in my history as well. Because here you go, you get hired for a job, you go out there and you do it well, and then all of a sudden you're intimidating the people that are above you. They don't know what to do with you now. So it's almost like being good is a threat. It's like, oh, my gosh, I don't think I'm going to fit well here because every time I do something well.
Yeah, you're showing up somebody.
Yeah, like getting into that type of trouble. And then, of course, you did it as part of a job. It's not like you were looking for, like, profit sharing, although it would be nice to get a thank you. It was almost like doing well created some issues, and you just realize that, you know what, this is going to be a predictable pattern. If I continue to do this, eventually I'm going to be fired or worse or whatever, never really reach my potential. Now, I like your style, the things that you said, so I'm kind of underlining this for some of our listening audience, because a lot of our listening audience are these entrepreneurs, and I want to kind of underline, highlight some of the things that you mentioned, but just I want to emphasize. You went into a business, and you said you didn't know a lot about running a business. You're a programmer. What was it about your personality that was willing, where you were willing to take the risks, whereas a lot of people would have discounted that, well, I can't be a business person. I don't know anything about running a business, so therefore I can't pursue my dreams in being a business owner because I don't know how to do it. What is it about you that makes you that kind of a risk taker? Because I bet you that wasn't the first time you've taken any level of risks in running a business. So talk to us about you being that risk taker. Why did you do it even though you didn't know how?
Well, the number one thing, of course, I've written three all-time best-selling books on entrepreneurial marketing. So, and I've also tutored entrepreneurs. And the number one quality you need, as far as I'm concerned, to be successful is persistence. Because you're going to fail numerous times before you make it. And most people I find, one failure and they're done.
Right. So you started in the late 60s, and you said you didn't kind of get some level of success into the 73s. You know, now you're talking about a couple of years in a row of some struggles. So not that every entrepreneur ever goes through those levels of struggles, and maybe now today with some of the ways that people can make money and all the different avenues with affiliate marketing and all the different types of things that people could be because of the internet, they don't have to travel the traditional route. What was it like being a young man in the late 60s, early 70s, trying to pursue your dream and getting your head handed to you as far as those failures and those lessons and being broke and having some of the challenges and obstacles? What was it like?
Well, you know, it was scary, but everybody around you, your family and friends and everything else, I thought I was crazy and I was never going to make it. And I got laughed at, a lot behind my back, I found out later. You just have to have determination and persistence, and you also have to be organized, and you have to be willing to work hard day and night. And if you're not going to do that, you're not going to make it.
So
but especially you just have to accept failure and keep bouncing back.
So during those early years, were there some challenges that just seemed like this is going to be the knockout punch? Or was it like almost every day there was a knockout punch?
No, you also have to have a positive attitude. I never even thought about failing. I knew I was going to eventually be successful, and there was just no question about it.
So where did you get the positive attitude from?
I guess my nature.
Okay. Did you reinforce it with anything? Did you listen to audio cassettes or whatever was around down there? Did you read books? Did you have any mentors? Or were you really self-taught?
No, I had an original mentor. I sought out this guy that also started a direct marketing company. His name was Gary Halbert. And he's the one that put me on all the books of the masters of direct marketing. The other thing is, if you go to college, you're not going to learn anything about marketing. It's just ridiculous that these people wouldn't have a clue about real marketing or measured marketing or successful marketing. You have to go to the masters, like Claude, especially Claude Hopkins was kind of the foundation of my marketing. He's the guy that came up with Quaker Oats, Shot from Guns, and Paul Mall is the soap, and so on. But you have to go to the guys that are successful. These books are very, very esoteric. There's a lot of other ones. They're in my book. In my book, Seven Steps to Freedom 2, the last edition. I'm working on another edition now that will be upgraded with all the stuff regarding online, how to make online marketing work. But that book will pretty well fill people in on everything it took for me to become successful.
Excellent. So was there a particular, what was your first like products or product line that you started with?
Actually, we started out with a computerized horoscope. And then did a computerized diet and so on. So anything computer.
You were building computer stuff when people didn't have computers. I got to remind our listening audience.
Yeah, and I didn't know anything about astrology, and I thought it was ridiculous, but it did sell. And Gary Halbert said, you got to go with what the people want. I said, all right, I'll have to figure it out. But we didn't stay with that too long, and then we eventually blossomed out into every product imaginable.
Right. So tell us a little bit about what SCI does now.
We're a multi-channel marketing company. We invent products. We develop products. We get in products that are brought into us from the outside, and we market them. And our main product line now is the Eden Pure product line, which is advanced household products such as infrared heaters, infrared heater coolers, air purifiers, water purifiers. Our theme is the Eden Pure products make your house paradise. And we have the top of the line products in that category, like heater and cooler wise, like our products just blow away Dyson. just about every other product.
Excellent. We're going to do this. We're going to take a little commercial break. For those people listening in, you're hearing the fascinating story of Ben Suarez. That's S-U-A-R-E-Z. He runs a company called, well, owns a company called SCI. It's Suarez Corporation Industries. We're going to make sure that you guys have access to some of the things that we're referencing right now, as well as hopefully some more interviews and some other, you know, pleasing conversations, as well as whatever we can possibly do to help Ben help other people build their respective businesses. We're going to be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLead.com. Just visit www.networklead.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.NetworkLeads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous blogs, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
We are back with Ben Suarez. This is Peter Mingles here on Listening to Us on Building Fortunes Radio. We're going to put up a special segment. It's going to be buildingfortunesradio.com/Ben Suarez. So if we'll have a Ben and Benjamin Suarez. So any way you spell it or misspell it, it's going to be able to be picked up again. And we're going to give you some of the links to some of the things that we're referencing, whether it's company website, affiliate programs they're working on, access to the books, the new books, the old books, all those types of things. Some of the books you have to find on your own, because some of them, I believe, have been coming like collector's items. So talk to us about some of the stuff you put in printer and writing, Ben. I think you said you've written 3 best-selling books?
Yes. The first one was in the late 70s called Seven Steps to Freedom. And then the second one was 1982 called Super Biz, in which, well, first of all, during that period, I was one of the first to go into online marketing. And I could see everything coming that is happening right now in 1982. I predicted everything in that book, and it's become a collector's item. It's selling for $2,900 a copy on online, or I mean on Amazon right now.
Wow. So some of the interesting things I love to talk to about entrepreneurs is the things that you have to fight every day. And some of the things I'll never forget, I was a young entrepreneur myself. I ran across a product that I lent to a network marketing company and also to a gentleman who ran some infomercials. So it was a product called Snore Less Eventually, and the snore began. It was a little spray that you spray in the back of your throat, kind of stops the wiggling and jiggling of the noise associated with that. And I thought it was a pretty cool product. The only reason why I got into that is because I was ripped off by a guy who I put that product in front of. So this is like the dirty, slimy, backstabbing, underhanded things that sometimes you got to deal with when you're relative to building a business. But one of the things that really knocked me out, I got a call from the FTC based on his advertising, not my advertising. They called me up and they said, you know, we need you to redo the label on the bottle to say it doesn't cure sleep apnea. And I said, well, I never said it did. And that's his advertising that's getting why do I have to change my product because of his advertising? And they, well, this is what we want you to do. So that's it. I just said, you know what? I think this is going to be a growing trend with you guys, and I'm done. So I just stopped manufacturing that. They stomped me out as far as the regulations and some of the challenges and things like that. So I am sure you have some challenges yourself running a business, especially with marketing, people saying, well, you can't say that. Well, we said it this way, but whatever. So what is your opinion or some of the challenges that you've had before with the obstacles being thrown in front of your business, especially if you're doing direct marketing, online marketing, any level of advertising in a very big way? Everybody's telling you what you can't do. So do you have any examples of the frustration or some advice about the frustrations? Because I gave up. Like in that product, I haven't given up about other things, obviously, but in that product, I just gave up. So do you have any words of wisdom or advice or some examples of some of the challenges that sometimes people face?
Yes, the entrepreneur has to know that 90% of consumer regulation is about competition suppression to establish companies, not about helping the consumer. These people, in most part, are corrupt, and they will do anything to suppress competition and for their career advancement. And smaller companies that are upstarts and so on are easy targets for them. So that's what you're faced with. And I've always had a policy. I think Donald Trump read my book that when attacked, counterattack. Put the enemy back on his heels so he has to defend himself and so on. And we've done that a number of times and have always won. But also, you have to, if you're going to be in business for a long time, you better have your own ethics. And we did, and that's why they could never get anything on us, because I have a policy that we will never sell a product, a bad product or a fraudulent product, no matter how much money. I don't care if we make $1 billion on it. We have to see it work with our own eyes, even though somebody would bring a product to us with all kind of scientific studies and substantiation. Those studies a lot of times can be rigged, and so we have to see it work with our own eyes. So our quality control department tests it out first, and they usually wash out the majority of them, and then if it passes them, I've got to see it and I've got to use it. So if you do that and treat your customers well, one, the regulatory agencies will never have anything on you. They might attack you because they want to try to put you out of business because you're competing with somebody. But if you fight back against them, we find that they turn tail because they are corrupt.
And that's a hard thing for most entrepreneurs to kind of deal with, the idea that they're not playing fair. So I know for me it was like, you know what, in this regard, I think I'm not going to pick this battle. It wasn't really something that I was totally committed to. And I just said, you know, this is going to be something that I think I've always got to face in this line. I don't think I really want to do this. And I just didn't like that. But that was a determining factor that, by the way, cost me a significant amount of money to make, or to make that decision. So on to some of the things that you've been working with. You deal with a lot of products. What are some of the key criteria on what might fit into your business model? And have you had some surprises along the way?
Well, I mean, there are guidelines. If you're going to have a successful product, you've got to look at, you know, what benefits is it going to provide with the consumer. And it's usually, if you want, the most successful products offer a quick, easy, cheap, big benefit. And that's hard to come up with. But there's also numerous other guidelines in the book that would be too extensive to get into here. But people have to know that only 1 in 70,000 products introduced to market are successful. With my method, I was able to get it down to 1 in 7, which is manageable. And if you can go out there and test it, the 7 to get the 1, that's in effect what you have to do.
Wow.
And there are accidental empires like the dot-coms where you have guys that have a hobby, you know, like Facebook and so on, and eventually it meets a demand. But these guys couldn't start another business again if you held a gun to their head because they didn't know how it started to begin with. But I've broken everything down. It takes – there's four factors – in producing a successful, profitable sales in a product. You have, first of all, the product, first component, the first factor is the product itself has to have a demand. Secondly, you have to know how to produce the marketing promotion that puts forth the benefits of the product. And then you have to go to an efficient media to meet that to get that promotion out there, and then you have to target your prospect. That's the fourth component. And if any one of those are a zero factor, in other words, if you're trying to sell a, as I use an example in my book, if you're trying to sell a ceramic birdhouse to an apartment dweller in New York, you're not going to have any chance of success. So if you have a zero multiplier, each of these factors multiply by each other, and you rate them from 1 to 10, and the product that you get out of it is the degree or the rate of sales.
Excellent. I love the multiplier of zero concept. I heard it a long time ago. Who knows, it might have been from somebody who read your book and said it to me, and I've been using it ever since. Now, we don't have too much time left. I would be totally messed up if I didn't say, you know, you've had a huge impact on a lot of people's lives in your local community. So can you briefly share with us some of the things that you've done to people in your local community as employers, like you're the employer, but they're the employee, and then also what you've done for some of the local organizations like the churches and the schools?
We have our own private charity, and I don't like to publicize our charitable giving because, the Bible says if you publicize that, then you're doing it for your own favor. But we do a lot of charitable work, which the details of which are kind of confidential. There's a lot of people being helped that don't know it's us. But the biggest, one of the biggest things is my books have created numerous millionaires across the country. I get letters all the time thanking me for making them millionaires. So the book has succeeded in creating a lot of successful businesses and creating a lot of jobs across the country.
Now, how about for yourself and your own community? You guys have been major employers in your local community where I'm sure a lot of people have passed through your doors, either for careers or part-time jobs or transitional types of things as well. And I know we're calling you at home and your phones are ringing off the wall, and don't worry about any of that sort of stuff because that's what we like to hear in the background. But do you have any personal satisfaction from the people that you've helped providing the stability so they can raise their families? Because that was always something really big for me. If I could provide for people that income and that level of security, that added a lot to my life as well. So how about you?
We do provide a lot of jobs in our company, and not only that, we provide a lot of jobs for our suppliers. So yes, we do create a lot of jobs, and with the knowledge that's in the book, or the three books, you'll know how to do it. We can create a new business, a successful new business at will, because we know how to do it. We know why it happens. So, with that knowledge, you create a lot of wealth in the country. You create a lot of prosperity, and you create a lot of jobs.
I love the one expression one politician one time said when he said, you know, like you business people, you didn't create that.
Yeah, right. there's no city that ever went out of business because of too much government. Or I mean, cities go bust because businesses leave. Government does not create wealth.
True. So yeah. True. I should have done a webinar for our radio show because I've been sitting here trying to hold back some of the smiles and some of the laughter that I have as you're speaking because I kind of predicted some of the things that you would probably say based on what I've read about you. So it was absolutely enjoyable for us to be here on the first radio show. Hopefully you're going to be able to come back and spend a little bit of time. I know you're super busy. So when people like yourself are doing the things that they do with their community, their family, their businesses, they don't have a whole bunch of time for radio shows. But we hopefully will be able to share some extra opportunities for our listening audience to hear from you. And I want to make sure that they have access to the materials that you're referencing, that you've developed before, that you'll develop in the future. So we want to be all part of that. For those people listening in, you are listening to Peter Mingles, that's me, and then Ben Suarez, Ben or Benjamin Suarez, S-U-A-R-E-Z. If you want to go to the company site, he's got it on his last name, SuareZ.com. So you'll learn a little bit about him from there, and hopefully you'll learn a lot more by being here on Building Fortunes Radio. So, Ben, I'll give you the next 30 or 60 seconds or whatever else you want to wrap this up, and hopefully we're going to be able to have you back.
Yes, just don't be afraid to fail. Just keep bouncing back. Persistence is the number one quality necessary for entrepreneurial success.
And by the way, is it ever over, or are you going through it even now?
No, it's never over.
Part of it.
There's always ups and downs, even though you establish your business.
There we go. Perfect. Okay, great. Thanks for being here. We're going to catch everybody next time on Building Fortunes Radio.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.